Yes, welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends for your Saturday morning with you every Saturday from 10 o'clock to talk all things sport and God knows what else. Welcome Joey, Jay and Rosie to another fine Saturday.
Good morning, Emma. Morning, Rosie, Jay. What a beautiful morning in Melbourne too, Jay-Z. That used to be your punchline, but it's a beautiful morning down here and there's so much sport happening. There's cricket, there's basketball, football, racing. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful morning to be in Melbourne.
Certainly is, and some drama last night with a big jockey fall. We're going to get the latest on that with Emma a little bit later. And some key injuries in the footy world. Aaron Norton, Ben Cunnington. We're going to have the latest on those two very big names a little bit later in the show. But look, I sit here behind the radio desk with my knee up in ice.
Oh my God. Honestly, you're so injury prone.
Yeah, look, it's fair to say the marathon running dreams, the hopes and dreams have come crashing down after my third arthroscope. Throughout the week. So my young bloke tackled me in the lounge room in December and sort of unknowingly took me out, ripped my meniscus for the third time. So the doctors are saying basically I should never run again. And I hate swimming and biking, Joey.
Yeah.
So that's darts I'm going to have to take up or something like that. But I tell you what is one of the great challenges as an athlete.
Here we go. You're asking for it, mate.
I think I'm going to go there.
Please do, Dan.
He's trying to sleep with an ice pack on your knee. I'm not sure if you mastered this. You got a couple of corkies, etc. over the journey. Trying to sleep when you've got giant chunks of ice strapped to your leg. I'm yet to master that art. So I'm a little bit tired this morning, it's fair to say.
It is difficult. But what you've got to do is you need some painkillers. Did you have any painkillers during the week? Because I've just got a gut feel, Emma, with our little group WhatsApp, that our boy Jay-Z might have just been under some sort of medication, because some of the stuff he was texting us during the week, he couldn't have been thinking clear of mind.
Wasn't in the right frame. No, that's fair to say. We won't mention the painkillers that you were on, and they were fair because, I mean, an arthroscope is, I can't imagine it's a pleasant experience.
No.
So you need to get that done. Let's mention a couple of those things that were put on the WhatsApp.
Go for it.
Including just a bit of self-promotion about Jay-Z's former boxing career.
Because we were talking about the big heavyweight battle that's going to be on Sunday between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And then Jay just thought he'd throw back in there that he used to get in the ring and was one from one as an amateur fighter.
Yeah.
But what about the nicknames, Em? He started giving us his nicknames.
Here we go.
Sugar J. Was it Sugar J Z or just Sugar J Clark?
Yeah.
Cassius J.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you had to
come up with your own boxing name.
Yeah, but you don't reappropriate one of the greatest boxers of all times. Like catch cry, you've got to come up with your own.
Well, it rhymes, them. Sugar Ray Leonard was a great boxer. I'm Sugar J, so that was sort of the clever play on words. What would you call yourself if you had your first bout, Em? What would you step into
some
the
time.
Ring? What would you be calling yourself?
For something about having a short reach and, you know, just not being very big. So, give me some time. I'll have a think about that.
Okay. What would you be going with, Joey?
Jumping out the way, Joey Montagna.
Not for the first time, Joey.
Did you hear about Tyson Fury during the week, what he would do if he won Sunday's bout? Quite amazing at the press conference. He would go and basically get high and find some lady friends. So
really?
Congratulations to Tyson for actually saying that at the press conference during the week.
Well, whatever motivates yourself. Whatever gets you motivated.
Joey, who was the best boxer at St Kilda? Who could really throw in the day?
Fraser Gary could fight.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was very good with the gloves. And because of his size, he was scary. Xavier Clark was actually a really good boxer as well.
Yep.
But we actually used to do a bit of boxing, obviously, just to bit of both fitness.
It's good fitness.
It is great. Yeah. And we used to spar with one another. And mm-hmm. Fraser Gary and Stevie Lawrence, we'll never forget too. They were good mates, but they were also very bit of white line fever, and they started sparring. And what generally happens, it's always don't punch each other in the head. And when you do it, just don't give your full force of a punch. Just 70%, good little spar. But once it starts getting competitive, you know what happens. And
The haymakers come
and Fraser Gary drops Stevie Lawrence in a sparring training session.
Yeah.
And it got a bit heated. And it was no one wanted to get in the ring with the big G train.
Who could you beat?
Nick Del Santo.
Morning, Nick.
That was about it.
So you can't run anymore. Are you going to get back in the ring? Is that your next sporting endeavour to get back boxing? Because, that doesn't require a lot of, running. I imagine your knee could hold up in in the ring, right?
No, I definitely need something. I need something to fill that competitive urge, because I do like to sort of exercise. Otherwise, I blow out real quick throughout the winter. So I need something, and I really struggle with cycling and swimming. So the doctors are saying I should not run, because the meniscus that I do have left in my knee is in real bad shape. So but look, Buddy Franklin's had the same surgery. Braden Pruce has had the same surgery. They're both out for 3 months.
If you're in the same league,
what's the relevance of Buddy Franklin's had the same surgery as you?
Yeah, that was similar. So.
Kidding. Hey, give us a little mention on socials if you have a sport or an activity that Jay should get involved with maybe over the winter to keep those kilos at bay.
Water aerobics.
The Scrabble championships. Yeah. That can be quite challenging, actually.
Water aerobics. Yeah, give it a go.
Pay to say that. Yeah. Coming up on the show today, Fox Cricket's Isha Guha is going to join us to chat about the Women's T20 World Cup. Now, not the result the ladies wanted last night, going down to India in their opening match, but some positive signs there to take out of it. We're counting down a State of Origin on Friday night as well, and Jason Johannesson's going to give us a call. He's an all-star. It's quite an extended squad. They're going to run a really big bench. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's fair. I think they should. You need to be whipping the rotation. Some guys will still have some minutes restrictions. So, but the more stars we can get to see out there, the happier I am.
Hey, huge credit to the AFL players who have stepped up and are going to play. I mean, the two teams, other than a few injuries, these are all-star lineups. So, look, I think the players who have copped it in the past for not playing State of Origin and preferring the AFL stuff, they deserve huge rap. Because the two teams are unbelievable, I think.
How are tickets going at the moment, do you reckon? I mean, you probably have a fair idea as to whether they're selling pretty good.
It's 44,000, 45,000 last year. So they'll be up in the rafters at Marvel. It's going to be a big crowd.
Also, Melbourne United's Mitch McCarron ahead of their semi-final berth next weekend. We're going to talk footy next, though, right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Let's talk a little bit of footy. We are in the depths of pre-season at the moment. Plenty of practice matches to talk about. But, Jay, let's start with Essendon. I know I'm an Essendon fan, and to be honest, I reckon a lot of Essendon fans are a little bit concerned at the moment, not only on the injury front, but with Connor McKenna as well. What's your take on how the start of their season's going to pan out?
Yeah, definitely some flashing lights and sirens going off at Tullamarine at the moment. When you look at their injury list and how underdone the Bombers will be to start this season, Joey McCurley, Cale Hooker, Dyson Heppel, has had the foot coming back. Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody calf. Orazio Fantasia working back from knee and calf. Tommy Bell Chambers out. So Andrew Phillips looks like you get the opening ruck spot in round one. And Joey Danaher, we know, is out as well. So on top of that, another concern yesterday in a bit of a scratch match over a Melbourne VFL team, Patrick Ambrose off to hospital for scans on his knee. Some concerns there. We're awaiting the latest. So in terms of that makeshift defence, we're looking at Aaron Francis, we know, talented young player, and even Brandon Zirk Thatcher, who's a standout prospect in the VFL, really getting the call up as these other guys really make their way back and try and build some fitness. So early in the season, Essendon fans, I know they take on Freo round one, your mob, there are some real concerns. And on top of that, we got this situation, and I'm so interested in how it's treated internally from a playing group and coaching perspective. Connor McKenna has gone back to Ireland. We know what an exciting young defender he is. On the eve of the season, he heads home to be with friends and family. And the latest on this is that Essendon aren't sure when he's going to come back. They're confident he's going to come back, but I don't think he's booked that return flight. So whether that's, you know, the week before round one or round 12, I don't think you could say with any certainty at all. So that's a huge concern from a club already dealing with a massive injury list. So if you're a teammate of Connor McKenna, Joe, I'm interested. How are you? Are you showing support? Or are you getting frustrated? Because he's a key player for them.
Yeah, I think times have evolved a little bit now where I think football clubs in general and particularly teammates are more understanding of players' personal situations. I think maybe 20 years ago there might have been a bit more frustration and a bit of, hey, what's going on? You're letting the team down. But I think we've evolved a little bit as a society in general where we understand that everyone's got their own personal situations and things going on. And I think his teammates will be pretty supportive. And of course they want him there. He's one of their best players. But it's like anything. You want your best 22 out on the park every week. But whether it's injury or personal situations, if they're not, footy clubs are pretty brutal and you don't have a lot of and pretty unforgiving. You've just got to move on and keep.
So what do you mean by that?
Move on as in you've just got to deal with what you've got.
Yeah.
So at the moment, Essendon don't have Connor McKenna. Mm. So as much as they would love him there, you just keep going business as usual.
Mm. And so you're sort of preparing to play without him.
You prepare without him. Yeah. Just like, you know, if someone's injured, you want one of your star players out there. But if they're injured,
yep.
Unfortunately, they step aside and you move on and you try and do the best with what you've got. But it is an interesting one. I'm sure there are people at the football club that are in constant contact with Connor McKenna, some of the hierarchy. But for the players, they've just got to deal with who they've got available and worry about what they need to do to help the team win.
In terms of also that injury list, Jay, I mean, some of them are lingering from last year. We know that.
Yep.
And there have been long recoveries. But also, some of these are new injuries that have popped up over the off-season and the pre-season. That's, from a management point of view, that's a big list. Like, probably the biggest in the AFL at the moment. Like, Joey, how does that happen? How does it end up that probably eight of our best players are under severe clouds of injury at the moment?
I'm just wondering, Jay, where you think Essendon's group are at mentally, not only with the injuries, but there's also obviously a bit of a situation with Ben Rutten and John Worsfold. There's been obviously the end of last season with Razio Fantasia and Joe Danaher potentially wanting to leave. Then there's been the leadership group stuff with Zach Merritt being like, there's a lot going on at Essendon.
Yeah, there
Forget
is.
About the injuries and their physical health.
Yeah.
It seems they're just a little bit disorganized or disjointed or a bit all over the shop. It can't be, I don't think as a player, it could be great for their confidence and their self-belief with all these sort of distractions and issues that have gone on since the end of last season.
Yeah, and it will be interesting when you look at the bigger list management perspective, because while they had Hooker and Hurley, you think maybe it was a chance at a...
And Bell Chambers to an extent as well.
Yeah, out of flag. But with those guys coming to the end, this Essendon list group will be looking at replacing those and almost resetting. I mean, if Danaher sort of goes to another club, they're going to have to bring in some young key position types, you think. You know, I mean, we know Francis is a very good player. I feel, in a way, for Essendon, when you go back to when Hurdy was coaching, you know, and... It's ripping the lid off the supplement crisis a little bit. But I thought there could have been a flag in this group going back to, what was it, 2015? Remember, they were top of the ladder, played Hawthorn in about round 16, and then the hamstring crisis hit, and it all sort of fell apart. So, look, this club, only a few years ago, I think, before that happened, could all have been almost been set for great things. Whether now you look at some of those ageing players and this season, the interrupted run, whether they're going to go down a different path with the draft. It's going to be an interesting crossroad for the Essendon Football Club, I think.
Quick prediction before we go to the break. I know we're a long way out, but do you see them any hope of making the eight this year as to, you know, what we can see in front of us at the moment?
I think they're going to struggle. We know when they've got their best players out there, they've got a lot of talent, but I just think the competition is so even, it's so competitive and it's so brutal. These injuries on top of everything else that's going on at the footy club, I can't see them making the eight. No,
they're not in mine. I think they're bottom six. Yep.
Mm. Time will tell. We'll do those predictions in the coming weeks before we kick off season 2020. Next, though, the footy continues with the Bulldogs. Jason Johannesson to join us to chat State of Origin. It's going to be a massive night on Friday, and we're excited for it on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Dead Set Legends with, we've discovered a whole host of Rob Thomas fans in this studio this morning. Yep. Big on Matchbox 20. They're terrific. I love Rob. You love Rob, Joey?
Absolutely. And I just realised that first album, Matchbox 10, that was over 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
I remember listening to it when I was in high school. I remember going camping with my best mate down to Balnarring, and we used to play Matchbox 20 over and over. I was a big fan.
3 a.m. Long day.
Oh, what a song. Yeah.
Yeah, heaps.
Yeah. Rosie, I reckon you've met Rob a few times. Is he divine? Is he a dreamboat?
He is so divine. A champion bloke. Like one of those people that you'd just love to have in here, just chatting about whatever. I reckon Triple M was one of the first bands that ever played Matchbox 20, and he's remembered that to this day. So when that came out, he hung out with us at Revolver nightclub.
Oh, dear. Why were you doing that?
But it was, the early shift. Yep. But just a lovely, lovely, lovely man. And he came in and was on the hot brekkie last year, and you just somebody you want to hang around with for the whole day.
All time. Five favourite albums, I reckon. That first one from them.
Matchbox 20. Yeah, there was Push, Real World. They had a lot of great songs. There you go.
Jeez, who would have thought we were music aficionados here? Hey, we are waiting to take the call of Jason Johannesson, but in the meantime, let's do this.
Yeah, a bit of sport happening last night. The Western Bulldogs defeated North Melbourne pretty comfortably in the end, 101-57. Marcus Bontempelli, well, those that were thinking about backing him for the Brownlow medal, Certainly would have seen plenty of him last night. Just a lazy 37 disposals and two goals. He's got to keep that under wraps. Don't waste those games in the preseason, Bont. But they did it pretty comfortably. Ed Richards was maybe the only injury out of the Bulldogs with a bit of a head knock. St Kilda in the women's AFLW, I called that game for Fox last night, had their first ever win in a good crowd at Moorabbin. So it was the two-day carnival at Moorabbin. They had the Saints men play Thursday night and got 8,000 people there, had a big win. And then last night, St Kilda defeated Melbourne by 5 points. And there's a new cult hero down at St Kilda. Jay, I don't know if you saw this. Caitlin Greiser, she's known as the G-Train. And she put on an absolute show in the forward line for St Kilda. Kicked a match winner from outside 50.
Yeah,
it was a massive kick.
Was it a torp or a drop
punt? No, a drop punt.
Yeah.
On the boundary from outside 50. And won the
celebrated.
Game. And celebrated too. So it was great scenes at Moorabbin for the girls and a good weekend all round for them. The cricket, I know we're going to chat to Ishigua in the second hour, but Australia lost their opening T20 match against India.
This was a surprise.
It was a surprise. Red hot favourites, the Aussies, but that's okay. You can still drop one early in the tournament and still get to the final. And the men, though, they had a huge win over South Africa. They won by about 100 runs. Ashton Agar was the star with the ball, but we'll chat about that a bit later as well. And of course, the boxing. I know we were teasing you earlier, Cassius J, about your boxing career. But
Sugar J.
For those that are interested, there is a huge heavyweight battle going on tomorrow. Probably the biggest heavyweight fight in about 25 years between two undefeated boxers. Dante Wilder, the American, who is just one physical specimen. Mm-hmm. He's 42 wins, no losses. And the one draw is against his opponent, Tyson Fury, the big Brit, who's also undefeated. They fought a cup last year, and it was a draw, a bit of a controversial draw, and they're going to do battle to see who is the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. So it's been a bit of trash talking going on there, and really looking forward to that one. Pay-per-view about lunchtime on Sunday.
These are really big boys. So
6'9", Tyson Fury.
Holy moly.
6'9". So he's 6'9". He's a massive
unit. So that's 2 metres tall, right?
Yeah.
That's a big unit.
Yeah. And Dante Wilder is just like a specimen, like an absolute freak.
You love him, it sounds like.
He's just
as much as you love Rob Thomas.
And that's the fear factor for these guys in the ring, because they only have to get one shot. They only have to connect on one of these really big punches, and it can be lights out, match over for the opponent. So that's where the defense clearly really comes into it.
Dante Wilder, Emma, he's had 42 wins, as I said, no losses, and 41 of them have been by knockout. So he's not a bloke that's going to go the distance. He will land one on your chin and drop you. But he did that with Tyson Fury last time, and he actually got back to his feet, Tyson Fury, and they were able to fight out the 12 rounds. So it's the only time they've both gone the distance, the boys, and it's going to be an absolute slugfest. So if anyone's interested in that sport, Sunday afternoon pay-per-view.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Ishigua, as you mentioned. Alyssa Healy really got rid of the knockers last night, top scoring for the Aussies, but as you mentioned, couldn't get the job done. But after 11 as well, Jay-Z has got news filtering through about some key injuries. Ooh. We'll keep you right across that. We are hoping still to chat to Jason Johannesson as well, and Mitch McCarron still to come on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yeah, welcome back to Dead Set Legends. Friday night sees the much-anticipated return of State of Origin. The Vics up against the All-Stars, all in aid of the bushfire relief appeal. The squads are brilliant, as we've mentioned, considering that the season is yet to kick off. Just shows how keen players are to play in this game. The Bulldogs' Jason Johannesson has been selected for the All-Stars, and he joins us now. Well done, Jason. How much of a thrill is it to be playing for this side?
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute awesome experience, and yeah, very honoured to be selected and given the opportunity. But yeah, as you said, it's not just the game; it's bigger than that. And just having a small part to raise some money for the devastating families that have gone through the bushfire. So it's going to be an absolute thrill to play in.
And it's a great thing you're all doing, JJ, to help raise some money. But I just want to know about this week, especially with the All-Star team and the Vics. Are you going to be a training run? Is there going to be a team dinner, a bit of a bonding session? What have you been told about this week leading up to the game Friday?
Yeah, so I think all the players are going to fly in Thursday, and we're going to have a training session Thursday at Marvel, and then a team dinner sort of and meeting Thursday night. So yeah, just a bit of a catch up and get together and yeah, a training session together.
and a couple of beers on the Friday night after the game. I'm sure, JJ, one of the carrots of this whole thing, Joey, is clearly getting to hang out with some of the guys you don't ordinarily get to do so. So I reckon a sherbet or two with some of the stars, some other teams in the comp would be a great opportunity, really, JJ. But tell us, how much sting is there going to be in this game? I think it's interesting whether it's going to be a really offensive, free-flowing game, or will there be some pride in the jumper and a bit of tackling out there? How much are you going to sort of put yourself on the line physically, JJ?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think we'll find out in the team meeting how the coaches want us to play. But I think most players, you know, we're competitors and we want to compete and we want to win. So I think it'll be a pretty good spectacle to watch for the fans.
I reckon there'll be an element of, it'll be a bit like the NBA. There's always a bit of talk to how LeBron wanted to play the All-Star game was how the rest of the team follow. I reckon if the Fifes and the Dangerfields and the big dogs in the midfield hell for leather, I think the rest of the team will jump on. If they just take their foot off the gas a little bit and say, look, it's just a practice match, it's a pre-season game, maybe it will be a bit more open and free-flowing. It'll be interesting to see early how the game's going to be played.
And maybe you feel each other out for a bit. And then as if it's close in the second half,
bit of pride.
Yeah, maybe then we start to see more tackling him.
JJ, the concept of State of Origin is one that rages in debate every single year. I mean, we're yet to play this year, but do you think it should be a regular fixture?
Yeah, as a player, I think, you know, I would love to represent WA and you know, somehow play a competition against the other states, either before or most likely after the season. So yeah, I don't know with the logistics of the whole thing where to put sort of a State of Origin series in, but as a player I would love to play and represent my state.
And what about the Western Bulldogs, JJ? Really Sleek. Strong performance Ooh. Last night, obviously being a pretty solid pre-season. How have the new guys to the club, particularly Bruce and Keith, fit into the side, and what are you really going to be knuckling down on this year? Is it going to be very similar to how you've played in past years, or have you tinkered with the game plan a little bit?
Yeah, obviously, Keithy played last night and he was solid as a rock in defence last night. And unfortunately, Brucey just pulled up a bit sore in the hamstring a couple of weeks ago. So he'll, you know, rest him and he'll probably play our next March series game. And we've gone to work on a lot of things this pre-season. And, you know, it's good to sort of implement them in the first pre-season game. And I think the way we move the ball, obviously we made a few skill errors and decision making, but you know, we're giving our forwards a lot of opportunity, and you know, probably a difference in previous years, we're going to look to play more in our territory, so we want to surge the ball and get it forward as much as we can. And you know, our midfield was dominant last night and they did that, and our forwards were able to get some scoring on the board.
I was really impressed, JJ. I thought it was a great performance from the Bulldogs. I think you're a top four side this year and it's going to be an exciting campaign. What's the latest on Aaron Norton? Probably the best young key forward in the competition, out with an arthroscope, a meniscus injury. Sort of know how he feels at the moment.
Oh, here we go.
But have you spoken to him? What's a likely recovery time frame for him, JJ?
Yeah, so he, unfortunately couldn't play last night, but he came to the game last night and spoke to him because it was a bit of a rare sort of injury, because he was just walking around and sort of felt something in his knee. But yeah, I think it's just a pretty simple clean-up. It's just got a bit of cartilage just to clean up, and then hopefully he'll be right by round one. But obviously if he's not, we'll be precautionary and hopefully he's there for the early part of the season.
He'll recover quicker than you, Jay-Z, and he won't whinge as much as you. That's what we do know as a fact.
No, nowhere near as many painkillers. JJ, congratulations are also in order because you've become a dad. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been awesome. She actually came to her first game last night, so it was awesome for her to be there and play in front of her. So yeah, it's gone really well. She's a good baby. She's a chiller. She sleeps really well, and you know, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always nice coming home after a long training day and seeing her. So it's been awesome.
Lovely. JJ, before we let you go, mate, Norm Smith medalist, of course. Where do you keep it?
Actually, everything that I win, I give it to my parents. You know, they made a lot of sacrifices, especially migrating from South Africa to Perth and giving me and my sister an opportunity to live a better life. And obviously all the sacrifices are like driving me to training and everything. So everything that I win, I pass on to my parents just for a little thank you, I guess.
How good is that?
You're a good man, JJ, because as well, you raised 10 grand with Matt Suckling as well for the bushfire appeal and dyed your hair. So you're doing some wonderful things at the moment, mate.
Yeah, well, it's always nice to play a small part in things, and you know, as little as we can do, just to help out, you know, I'll definitely give it a go.
Well, Jason Johannesson, thank you for joining us. And, of course, Bulldog fans, more than 35,000 people have already signed up to belong to the West this season. And you can, too, visit westernbulldogs.com.au to explore your membership options for 2020. Thanks for joining us, JJ.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, JJ. And I would be jumping on the Western Bulldogs membership bandwagon if I was a supporter, because, as you just said, I think they're a top four team as well. The way they're going to play, you heard JJ then, you've seen it. They play an exciting brand of footy. Yep. While a lot of teams are playing safe and wide and slow, the Bulldogs play a good brand of footy. They're slick, and they are a big chance. So I hope all the members jump on board, and they're going to be one of the most exciting teams to watch this year.
I agree.
Here's a hard bloke not to like as well. Congratulations to JJ for everything he's doing at the moment. Mitch McCarron from Melbourne United to join us next on Triple M's Dead Set Legend. Mitch McCarron has been doing a brilliant job for the side and joins us now. Mitch, congrats on making those playoffs, but it was a lot of grit and a lot of time and a lot of effort to get there.
Yeah, it was a bit of a grind for us. You know, we made it difficult and left it to the last round, but a good bit of entertainment for the fans.
It did do it the hard way to get there, Mitch, but you must have been pleased with your form late in the season. You started to really hit your straps. Has the break now come at not an ideal time for you guys, considering the form you're in?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we kind of talked about as a group the other day, that, you know, we need to find a way to keep that momentum rolling over. You know, today we're going to throw the balls out and play a bit of a scrimmage just to keep that game rhythm. You know, we don't want too much time off because we have been playing really well, and we feel like we're peaking at the right time of the year.
Mitch, it's a delicious matchup against the Kings, Andrew Bogut and your old mate Casper Weir. Weir, no doubt you'll spend some minutes on him. Will there be some emotion, some fire and passion against your old teammate?
Yeah, I think if we want to get the win, our group has to bring a bit of that. You know, Sydney have beaten us three times now, and we know that Casper enjoys playing against us. His statistics are that much better against us than anyone else in the league, and he likes letting us know on the court as well. So,
does he?
I think if we bring our energy and our passion, then we'll take it right back at him.
It seems like it was that energy and that passion and maybe a few choice words from the coach last weekend against the Phoenix that got you over the line in the end. Can you give us some insight as to how that all played out?
Yeah, I think we had a really hot start. You know, Chris made some incredible shots, which he can do. And sometimes, you know, when you have that quick hot start and everything's rolling and the other team suddenly, you know, hits back at you, they go on a little run of their own. And that's kind of been the story of the Phoenix season. You know, they just go on these scoring runs where they put points on the board, and then they can't stop other teams putting points on the board too. So we felt like we'd always be in the game. We just had to stick to what we were trying to do, and I think everyone lifted when we needed to and got it done in the end.
Speaking to Mitch McCarron from Melbourne United, you mentioned Chris Golding. What is that, something like 11 three-pointers in the last two games? He has caught fire at the right end of the season, right?
Absolutely. You know, Chris is a big game player. He always has been. He's a big time shot maker, and I think he lives for these moments where, you know, our backs are against the wall and we need someone to really step up and lead us, and he's done exactly that, which he's done numerous times over his career. So I'm expecting something big from him against Sydney as well.
All right, so the Sydney Kings next Saturday night and next Monday night, and that second one is in Melbourne. What are you looking out for them? Because they have been in sensational form all season. They're the team to beat. What are you fearing?
Oh, we're not fearing anything. You know, we know exactly who they are and what they're trying to do. Slowing them down is difficult. You know, there's no question about that. They've been the top team all year, as you said. But doesn't mean that there aren't areas that we can attack and expose. And we just have to be really diligent about how we do that consistently over the game. And I think that'll give us a really good chance to win the series.
And Mitch, I mean, I've admired your role for this Melbourne United team, because it does really feel like and seem like you play a very selfless role at times. I mean, one of the best defensive players clearly in the league. You must really pride yourself on help putting the wraps on the opposition players like Casper Weir in a big game like this.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's a challenge that I really look forward to, because he's probably expected to kill us. He's such a talented offensive player, and for me, as a guy who might play some minutes on him, I'm sure Shea will play a massive role as well. But it's just trying to make it as difficult as possible. You know, Cass is one of those scorers that can just find different ways to put the ball in the basket, and sometimes it's just about making that as contested as possible, and sometimes it'll still go in and he'll tell you about it. You've just got to move on to the next play.
I'm interested in his sledging, I must say. if he is that lippy, that'll be on.
No, it'll be a good bit of fun. You know, sometimes he'll walk back and look at the bench and he'll talk. You know, it's just Casper. That's how he gets into the game. And once he gets that rhythm, he's really hard to slow down.
Oh, Mitch, we really appreciate your time this morning and we'll be cheering for you next Saturday up in Sydney. And then, as we mentioned, Melbourne United take on arch rivals, the Sydney Kings, at Melbourne Arena on March the 2nd, which is a Monday night, in the NBL Finals matchup that is set to be a very fiery clash. Tickets available right now at Ticketek. Thanks for joining us, Mitch.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Joey, what do you do when you've got an opposition player in any sport who's getting lippy? Would you go back at them or would you ignore them? How do you handle the verbal fire?
It depends who it is. That's how I feel. If it was someone that I thought didn't have a right to be lippy, yes, I'd probably fire back. If it was someone like Buddy Franklin or someone giving you a bit of lip, you'd probably just sort of nod your head over.
That's honestly it.
That's how I found it anyway. If it was Hodgie or Buddy or someone giving you a bit of lip, you just kept trying to worry about getting a kick. If it was someone you thought, hang on, youngster, who are you giving a bit of lip? I'd dish it back.
Sounds familiar. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Thank you, Rabsy, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Thanks for joining us. We are back for a big second hour, including Isha Gua from Fox Cricket. She's going to join us. We'll talk a bit of racing as well, because last week we actually launched our Dead Set Multi. Now, let's be honest, wasn't the biggest of successes to begin with, but we're hoping to redeem ourselves
I got mine right too,
but, you know, someone let down the team.
I'll put my hand up. Although, in fairness, I don't think it was my tip. I think it was the team that let me down. I've tipped Carlton in the AFLW, who look like world beaters round one. I tipped them to beat Collingwood.
Yeah.
The girls let me down.
Got upset.
They got upset. So it's their fault, not mine.
And there was a bit to come out of that game.
Jeez, you are just heaving it off. No, it's not like, my problem.
They should have won, so I apologise for that. I thought Carlton were going to beat Collingwood. Collingwood have been surprise packets to AFLW.
What did you think when Stacey Livingston said that Taylor Harris was useless?
She didn't say she was useless.
On the ground level. At ground level.
Thank you. That is a big difference.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
That's the big difference, to say at ground level she's useless.
Did you want to hear the grab so you can
compare to she is useless?
Let's hear it.
I'd like to think that I know how to play on her already. But you just got to stop her in the air. That's her game. And if you can do that, she's useless.
So if you can stop her in the air, she's useless. So that's different. That's like someone, if they had said to me, you're trying to take contested mark, you're useless, I'd go, yeah, you're right. But that's different than saying you're useless.
We just haven't heard a lot of that.
But I've loved the interviews of the AFLW girls after the games. That's been one of the highlights so far. They're passionate. They're raw. They speak from the heart. I think they've been terrific interviews. Yep. And if just because she uses the word useless instead of not very good, mm-hmm, I don't think we should be stopping it. I think it's been great. I've really enjoyed it.
I couldn't agree more. I love that. I love that openness. I think as a journalist, you want that sort of honest commentary. However, from her coach's perspective, does it come across as a bit disrespectful? And have you sort of given the opposition some ammunition next time?
No, I don't believe you give opposition ammunition at all. I think that's a bit of a myth. I don't think it affects anything. Then the journalists and everyone says, oh, we like it. But then as soon as someone says something a little bit controversial, everyone jumps all over it. So that's my concern when people do speak from the heart and are more raw and honest, that then if they do say something,
you're still going to report it.
Yeah, but then it's how it's reported.
You can't ignore it.
But it's how it's reported.
Just said that she said this. What do you think?
Well, what do you think? But hang on. Do you say what do you think? Or do you answer it and say, it's good that she said that? Or, because you've said you liked it, but at the same time you're saying, oh, but I'm not sure whether that's the right thing to say.
No, personally, I loved it.
Right.
But from a club perspective, I reckon next time they would want her to use different words.
But the club only react to then how it's presented in the media and in the greater public. I don't think it matters internally. It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't make a difference. Doesn't mean Carlton are going to try harder next time they play Collingwood.
Well, I was in the press conference, and when we asked Stacey the same question and then she went over it again, her coach jumped in and said, hang on, she's a very good player.
Yeah.
So I think reading between the lines, I think they would want her to answer the question differently next time, say, rather than sledge her. But
having said that, as
a fan of the game, I thought it was good.
We all agree that the use of the honesty, I guess, is great for the game, because now there's a bit of spice there. We're excited about the next contest, and we can look forward to something. You two have a little bit of spice there as well, you know, having a little bit of a chat about those things.
I think there's nothing wrong with it. The only thing that's wrong with it is when people make out like it's a bigger issue than it is. That's when I think it becomes something significant. But otherwise, good on her.
Should we do pick one?
Let's do pick one.
I spoke to James Warple.
Saw that great article today in the Herald Sun.
Congrats, Jay-Z.
Thanks very much. And it's a story in the Herald Sun today. It's not where I was meant to be going.
Is that the note you slipped me? Is that what it says? Let me just read it. Hang on.
It does Jay, love a bit of praise. Article. It's okay.
No, it was a good read.
Joey, say this. It was interesting that, and this has flown under the radar, before Christmas, Hawthorn sent all their players out a week of work experience. Now, when you've only got 4 or 5 months to prepare for the upcoming season, a whole training week is a fair amount of time to dedicate to working. But James said that it helped rejuvenate, refresh the group, right? If you were playing this season, Joey, would you rather dedicate that extra week to training and preparing as normal? Or would you rather do the same thing, get that break and spend a week in the real world and train after hours like they used to do 20 years ago?
No, I like it. First I've heard of it. I really like it from Hawthorn, and this is why they're ahead of the game. The Hawks are always thinking of ways to, you know, get ahead of the competition. I think a week off in pre-season doesn't hurt anybody. Whether you need a week off because you're a little bit sore, whether you go to work experience or, you know, you go and do some community stuff, I think it doesn't hurt at all. We've done it in the past. I remember years ago, you know, like a young Jack Stephen, you know, got in trouble for, I think he might have been out or something like that, or he wasn't dedicating himself to training. So they sent him away and said, you go and work for 2 weeks and you see what you want to dedicate your life to. And he went and was a labourer for a couple of weeks, came back to the footy club and said, no, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. Mm.
This is a much better life than what I could be doing. I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful. And it made him knuckle down. So I think just having a week of work experience, one, it gives them a bit of an idea into the bigger world and keeping an eye into the future, but also makes them realise how privileged a position they're in and how lucky they are to be doing what they're doing and to dedicate all their efforts while they can to living out this dream. So I think it's a great move by Hawks.
Hats off to James Warple. Worked in a detention centre at Parkville for a week, which was an interesting experience for him. He actually said the training that they did do at 6 p.m. was their best training of the whole pre-season.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Hey, Emma, pick one. Right?
Yes.
Some great theatre on at the moment in Melbourne. Billy Elliot, Trek, Come Away With Me, all excellent. Pick one, gold class cinema tickets or theatre tickets. What would you rather? Pick one.
Is there food and drink included with the gold class ticket?
You get all the popcorn and choc top you want. Do you want
a
marinade?
For a real experience, I'd probably go in the theatre because it's a once in a lifetime thing to see a show like that. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see them every week. Gold class, I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, I'm not going there very often, but I think to go to see a theatre show. Where'd that come from?
Rosie? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
What would you prefer?
Wow.
Love going to theatre, but I'll take a gold class. A couple of movies.
I'll just take a stock standard beer and nachos at the gold class cinemas. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
You? What show are you seeing at the moment, Mr. Theatre?
No, I like the theatre. Our family likes it. I'm all blown away by how
If it's still on Come From Away, seriously, one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. Delightful.
Yeah, my wife, Jane, saw it, said it was...
Bawled my eyes out the whole way.
Blew away.
From joy and sorrow. But just brilliant.
Joy and sorrow.
Oh, it was amazing. It had everything.
So it was Come From Away Theatre. Yeah. Theatre production.
Yeah, okay. Really great.
Yeah.
All right, terrific.
Should we have a theatre night at DSL crew?
Yeah, what would you like to go see? That show.
Away.
We've got to be bawling at each other's hankies and stuff like that. Oh. Up next from Fox Cricket's esteemed team, Isha Guha to give us the lowdown on the Women's T20 World Cup, a massive event where we'll hopefully see some big results from our girls right here in Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Saturday morning, the build-up to the Women's T20 World Cup has been absolutely enormous, and it all kicked off last night. Now, unfortunately, our girls faced a tough opponent in India, chasing their score of 4 for 132. The Aussies were all out for 115, unfortunately. Fox Cricket expert commentator Isha Guha has been fronting the coverage all summer long and is across it. Welcome to the program, Isha. It wasn't the result our girls were after last night.
Hi, Emma. Yeah, not at all. You know, high expectation coming into the tournament. Everyone wants to see Australia there on the 8th of March on International Women's Day in front of a sold-out crowd at the MCG. That is the dream. But it all began against, as you say, a tough opponent in India who have beaten them a couple of times in the last few years. So quietly confident they would have been. But at the halfway stage, you know, Australia would have felt they were massively in the game and they should have chased down the runs. They just struggled with the spin of Poonam Yadav. That was the bare bones of it, really. At the Sydney Showground, whereby it does turn. That's where they came unstuck.
tell us about that. I mean, she was the whole star of the show last night, wasn't she, Isha? And this is the kind of great stories that this tournament is going to throw up, because I had not heard of Poonam Yadav, not sure about you, Joey, until...
Yeah, I had, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, until last night, fan. And she takes four for her. I mean, this is what it's going to make this tournament an unbelievable ride.
Yeah, when you look at the bigger picture of everything, you always talk about visibility of women's sport and the fact that every game is being shown now on Fox Cricket. It's being broadcast all around the world. It means that you do get to hear about these names that you may not necessarily have heard of here in Australia. I mean, Poonam Yadav is just such a very unassuming because she's so petite, but, you know, she's incredibly accurate. She gets those revs on the ball and she bowls really slowly. So for batters, it's really difficult because you have to generate the pace. You feel like you have to come at the ball, and that's where it proves to be difficult. But yeah, teams are going to have to find a way to play her.
But the Australian team, there are so many names that have become household names, haven't they, with this Australian women's cricket team. They've really gained a strong following. Do you think, Isha, there is a bit of, they're feeling the pressure, the Australians, because they are the red-hot favourites to win this tournament. Have you sensed it being around it so far that maybe there is a bit of anxiety and this loss could potentially just calm them into getting into the tournament?
Well, there's absolutely no question there would have been a few nerves yesterday. Like, I remember a couple of years ago in the 2017 World Cup back home in England, and there was expectation there when we played as well in 2009. That there's just so much more expectation that's lamped on you, and you feel it a bit more when you're playing on home soil. And Michael Clark actually said something interesting yesterday, is that, you know, you've just got to embrace it. Embrace the fact that you're the favourites and really kind of just own it. And I think what you're saying there, yeah, they're into the tournament now. This will just give them the kick that they need maybe to just get into that headspace of we cannot lose. And that will hopefully drive them to get over the line in their remaining games. But it is one of those, because I think a lot of players feel the responsibility of the bigger picture as well, because, you know, women's cricket hasn't necessarily been at the forefront of the minds of the population for a while. So to be front and centre, you know, they want to make sure that they're there at the final, but mainly because of the spectacle that it could create from a wider perspective, you know, being able to inspire young boys and girls. And that's what we saw in 2017, where we had an England-India final at Lord's. It was a sellout crowd, and it was just the most incredible experience.
Talk about the pressure, Isha. Alyssa Healy has been under an immense amount of pressure with the bat, but last night she put all that aside and was the top scorer for us. What I've loved about Alyssa, particularly over the last week or so, when she's faced those questions from the press about her form, she knows she's been hitting the ball well. She knows that the only problem is that she's been getting out, unfortunately, very early in her innings. How did you see her return to form last night?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't unexpected for me, to be honest. I had similar questions in the lead up to it, and I just thought, you know what, she's been the best player in the world in T20 cricket for a couple of years now. She's got the best strike rate. I just thought it was going to be a couple of boundaries and she'd be away. And, you know, credit to her. You know, it was a massive game. The way she came out and just the way she played as well, that would have given her so much confidence. And hopefully, you know, that will kind of galvanise the group to kind of make sure that they follow behind her as well. If she can get them off to some good starts, then, you know, others will step up. There's no question of that. So, yeah, credit to her and the way she handled all that kind of media attention, maybe for the wrong reasons. But I guess that is the other thing that the girls talk about. With more exposure comes more responsibility, and they kind of expect that criticism, which, you know, I think they've taken it all on board. It's similar with the England girls, actually. They expect criticism, and they almost are upset if you don't give it to them, because that means that, you know, you're not taking women's cricket seriously. So, yeah, incredible the way she dealt with it, and great to see her back to her best.
Speaking to Isha Guha from Fox Cricket, before we let you go, Isha, I think the Aussie women now have to win their three remaining qualifying games to make the semi. So we'll be, it is going to be a tough challenge from here. But just quickly on the men's, how relieving do you think for Steve Smith? Back to South Africa, where all the sandpaper disaster happened. I mean, a crushing win over the South African. Steve Smith, 45 off 32. Do you think that would just take the edge off things for him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, we've seen him so much in the last couple of years, and just every time he's faced with that challenge, he just deals with it incredibly well. I mean, seeing him in England and the way he played over there, he does the talking with the bat, and that's what the best players do. So from his point of view, hopefully, you know, there are no remaining feelings. There's not that residual kind of stress of having to go back to South Africa. He can just move forward with his game and just keep winning games for Australia.
Great to have you on the program this morning, Isha, and we wish you the best of luck for the Women's T20 World Cup. Of course, you can get every game of the ICC Women's T20 World Cup live and ad break free on Foxtel. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Isha.
Great to have her on the program this morning. Coming up, Jay-Z, you've got that footy news we've been waiting for. That's coming up very shortly. And we'll talk a bit of racing as well on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning.
Hey, big news in racing last night. A fall, a serious fall. Jockey Luke Curry at the Valley. Have you got the latest on that?
Yeah, so he fell last night after crossing the finishing post on the third place getter, actually, Jay-Z. From what we understand, he's got a suspected C7 fracture and two fractured ribs. So that's not good news for Luke. He'll not be riding for quite some time, but it affects today's big card at Caulfield, where we're seeing multiple group races. He would have had a handful of terrific rides, including the favourite in the Blue Diamond, Hanseatic. So a bit of chaos this morning there. I believe Anthony Friedman did call Tim Clark this morning, another great jockey who has now got the ride on Hanseatic after Luke Curry is not able to fulfil those commitments. So a little bit of stress there this morning.
We wish him all the best and hope for a speedy recovery. But that's a huge blow to be on the favourite in the Blue Diamond, this Hanseatic, who does look almost unbeatable, Emma. It's a $1.5 million race. That's a significant payday that Luke Curry is going to miss out on if this horse happens to win.
And, you know, futures as well, Joey, because the next couple of weeks in Melbourne and then getting up to Sydney, there's some great racing and he would have had a book of really good rides. So it is unfortunate for Luke. These things happen. He was taken to hospital last night with a neck brace. I think they feared, you know, things could get really bad. Of course, a C7 fracture is awful news for Luke, but he will recover from what we understand and he'll be right to go in a couple of months' time.
It does blow me away, just the speed, the courage. I reckon it's underrated just how much courage the jockeys show to be on these horses, absolutely flying, how close they are. Like, you just couldn't pay me $1 million to have a crack at that. You know, I think it is such a dangerous thing and, you know, a little bit underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. And Emma, you are the guru of the racing. You're still yet to get one wrong. What about last week? She tipped Alligator Blood. Now,
I mean, that was an easy one. Although, having said that, what a race.
Yeah, against Catalyst. It was a huge match race. And those two are going to go at it in the All-Star Mile in a few weeks, which is going to be a beauty. But you picked the winner. You still got it right. That's all that matters. Today, big card. Are there a couple that have caught your eye? I know we're going to have our big multi at the end of the show, but are there a couple that have caught your eye that people that are listening that might want to have a flutter this afternoon should be looking at?
I tell you what, I've gone a bit rogue. Not really, but I've placed my own little multi today. I think Uncle Anthony, I know we talk about a lot, but there's a great article. He's on fire. There's a great article in the Age today about Anthony and how good he's going and a bit about his personality, because he is known around the racetracks as grumpy. A couple of really good quotes in there as well that I'd urge you to go and read about what kind of fella he actually is. But he's got, you know, five great chances at Caulfield today, and then the Derby winner warnings going around at Rose Hill as well. I've actually had four of them into a win multi.
Oh, wow.
If that gets up, I'm not seeing you next weekend. So that's fair. But we will do our multi soon. You did mention Alligator Blood and Catalyst, likely both heading to the All-Star Mile in a couple of weeks' time, where we will be. You add in Super Seth, the Guineas winner who goes around again today. Wow, that's a three-horse race that I would pay to go and see. That's going to be one to remember. And you guys watched last weekend's. Who are you leaning towards? I know we're, you know, 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out from the big one that we've been talking about on the program.
You've got to be patriotic, don't you? We've got to stick with the Australian, the Queensland horse Alligator Blood against the New Zealander, Catalyst. Well, that was a pretty good run by Catalyst, and it's going to be a good day.
With 100 to go, I thought Alligator Blood was going to get beaten. I thought Catalyst had the momentum, and then you just wonder with horses and that competitive spirit, because it did seem to kick in with 100 metres to go and then just found something. I mean, it was an unbelievable race, but did look like it was going to get beaten and then just lifted.
I tell you what, I really enjoyed our chat with David Van Dyke last week, who is the trainer of Alligator Blood. An amazing man, a fascinating story of his own. But the way that he spoke about his horsemanship and how much he loves his horses, particularly his star in Alligator Blood, that's one to go and re-listen to if you haven't already on the website right now. Jay-Z, you're getting your footy news prepared.
I'm ready.
Because you've got some updates on some key injuries to some key players. It feels like there's a lot of injuries going around at the moment.
It does, doesn't it? Well, you just sort of want to touch with it, as you said, that you don't get hurt in this bit. But with only the two Marsh Series games, coaches, I think, sort of have to get their best players out there and play at least a half both matches. So we saw the benefit of that in Marcus Bontempelli last night. Looked like maybe the best player in the competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want to get some work in, but you touch wood or cross your fingers that they stay uninjured.
That coming up next. Plus, as we mentioned, our Dead Set Multi, we are working feverishly to get that sorted for you right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Morning. We have been promising these injury updates all morning for our newsman, Jay-Z. Let's start with Ben Cunnington, because late concerns last night, Jay-Z, for him.
Yeah, he went to the bench and didn't look happy. I think it happened 2 minutes to go in the loss to the Western Bulldogs last night. But the news is good this morning that it was just cramp in his adductor and groin. So, look, he should be fine. There's no strain or tear or anything like that. I think they were just being conservative, and he was a bit angry about the result more than anything. So, look, he should be okay. It's not a serious injury, just normal cramp for Ben Cunnington.
He's picked in the Victorian side to play in the State of Origin game. Will he still play in that, or does now that become a bit of a question mark and you've got to take the conservative approach?
Good question, Joe. So they'll monitor him in the next couple of days, and they won't be taking any risks with him. So he'll be a watch. As Jason Johannesson said, they train Thursday. So he's got to get through that session clearly to play.
This is going to be the big one out of the All-Star match if anyone gets injured. Yep. Because I know you asked JJ and they all want to play in it and how hard it's going to be. But if one of these superstars gets a serious injury because they were going a little bit harder than they should have, that's going to be the big question mark on this game and whether they play anything like this again. That's going to be the big watch to come out of Friday night for all the coaches and all the fans. As much as we want to see a spectacle, touch wood, you want your best players to get through
100%. Uninjured.
And wasn't it Josh Fraser for Collingwood who hurt his knee in the 2008? Rabs is nodding his head. Yeah, hurt his knee quite seriously from memory. In the Dream Team game, I think, which cost him a significant stint on the sideline. So you're right. All the coaches, the adding coaches, will have...
Fingers crossed.
Their hearts in their mouths.
A couple of those other updates for us, Aaron Norton and Patrick Ambrose.
Yeah, so Norton, probably the best young key forward in the competition, Joe. If not, he's having surgery on his knee, meniscus, same one as me. So it's 4 weeks till round one.
Same one as me. Did you hear that? Yeah. Did you hear that? Same
he said that a number of times today.
I'll do that for the
mate,
theater.
You are not playing in the AFL, doubt. I mean, your running career's over. We know that.
For your amusement, Emma. So look, players can get back from this in 2 weeks. Matthew Cruiser and Sean Higgins were two who got back, only missed one game. Joey, yourself?
I missed one game.
Oh, look at him. What a legend, eh?
And then I got bone bruising and missed the next four after that because I rushed back too soon.
Did you?
So 4 weeks should be enough time for Norton to be available, I would think.
But there is an obsession with round one.
There is.
Did you find that, Joey?
Yes, and that's what I did. So the game tonight, so I did mine in the preseason game. We had the week off. I rushed back to play in round one.
Yep.
Said I was right to go. I played, got through okay, but then I developed bone bruising because I came back too early and then missed the next 4 weeks. You're right. There is an obsession with playing round one because we've trained all summer.
Yep.
All you want to do is get out and play. You don't want to miss another week, but I think 4 weeks should be enough time for Norton to be out there. Round one, working alongside Josh Bruce.
The Bulldogs take on Collingwood. Blockbuster round one game Friday night. Who will you be tipping?
Bulldogs.
Ooh.
I just guessed. I don't know. I haven't put any thought into it yet.
Yeah, we'll be. The other one you mentioned is Patrick Ambrose. Scare for him, the Bombers defender. He'll get scans. We have to find out how that'll be. But it's another concern for Essendon, as we mentioned earlier, Emma.
Yeah, it's just dire times. I don't know what to say to that. Hey, let's do this right now, hey?
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Time for Give Me a Spell. I'll go first. Got a text message 3 a.m. this morning. Already ice pack on me, not sleeping great. And then I got notified from the good people at the bank that someone's trying to use my credit card at a pizza house in Norway. So
in Norway?
Yeah. So I was cancelling my credit card in the middle of the night. Give me a spell.
The banks do that, though. They're very good like that, actually.
Outstanding.
Stopped it before they'd spent thousands of your dollars.
Yeah, hundreds of dollars on pizza. It was weird. Anyway.
My Give Me a Spell. It's been a wonderful two-day carnival at Moorabbin. The AFLW team, the Saints, had a win last night. The men played really well in the first Marsh game. But Give Me a Spell, running out of grog at quarter time.
Oh, give
like,
me a spell.
Come on, Saints. Come on, they Weathers. Do so much right, but how can you run? I heard they only had 40 slabs.
What?
For 8,000 people. 40 slabs. No. Jay-Z has like... that when he hosts parties at his house.
Correct.
Come on, Saints. Give me a spell. Oh, you've got to be better than that. What were they thinking?
40. You'd go be getting 400.
God. Oh, it's exactly. Maybe. Anyway, they were well and truly short. They ran out of quarter time. Luckily, the good folk ran down to Dan Murphy's, did a quick drive-by and were able to top up a little bit. But they've got to be better than that, the Saints.
Might give me a spell. Also on the food train, many food discussions on this program at the moment, which I don't mind. When you go to the local and you have a Saturday counter meal, I like to have a burger. It's my favourite thing to do with my husband and my small baby and also watch a bit of racing, which is unconventional. But give me a spell. When you order the burger, it must come with cheese.
Yes.
None of this add cheese for a dollar stuff. No. I've just looked at the local menu going down today. Spell. I'm not going to that pub anymore because I've got to add cheese to the burger for a dollar. Give me a spell.
Give us a spell.
I think they need a bit of feedback about that.
I'm providing it right now. Hey, still to come, we're going to do our Dead Set Legend of the Week and our Dead Set Multi. Hopefully a little bit more luck for this team this weekend. Coming up on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma Fierce Saturday morning. Let's take a look at our Dead Set Legend of the Week.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Yeah, good Dead Set Legend of the Week this week. It normally gets a lot of knocks on some of these high-profile Australian athletes. Ben Simmons copped a little bit of criticism when he came to Melbourne for the way he acted. But Patty Mills, during the All-Star break, while most NBA players go to Miami and sit by the pool and have a few days off and do all those sorts of things, he flew to Australia with his partner and spent 5 days going to all the affected fire-affected regions around the country, donating his time, helping out with the wildlife, doing a lot of wonderful things to help out as best he could. So Patty Mills, he is one humble, terrific Australian athlete who's doing great things. So Patty Mills this week, our Dead Set Legend of the Week.
A terrific one. Love that a lot, Joey. Also love our new Dead Set Multi of the Week. Of course, gamble responsibly. This is just a fun new thing that we're going to do. Instead of giving a tip each week, we're all going to throw something in the pot, bundle them up into a little multi. You can play along at home, and hopefully we can have a multi winner in the next few weeks. I reckon today we could break the one-game hoodoo and get a win.
We'll keep a running tally. So we minus 100 last week, and that was my fault. Carlton AFLW let me down. I thought they beat the
Pies. You actually said it was Carlton's fault, but
But I'm bouncing back today. I've got a winner. And I think you'll agree with this. I've got some good inside mail. Race one at Caulfield. So you only have to wait 35 minutes, 12:30 or 40 minutes. Race one, number 7, Just Benjamin, will win the first race at Caulfield today. So about $2.40. I'm taking those odds. Put it in. What have you got?
I'm also staying with racing, also with the same stable. Race 7, number 2, Hanseatic. Don't mind that new hoop, Tim Clark on board, the favourite for the Blue Diamond. This horse is superior as a 2-year-old. He's had an epic season so far, 3 amazing wins. I think the stable's going to be in top form today, so throwing that in. Has been on the drift since that news of Luke Curry out, 270. You might even be able to get a little bit more of a price leading up to that.
It's going to be a Friedman fill-up today.
I have a feeling it might be. I hope it is.
I'm looking towards the NBA, and I'm going to try and tip an upset. Lots of shorties today, but I want a bit of value. I reckon Denver Nuggets at $2 will upset the OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder. I reckon the traders got this the wrong way round. So Nuggets to win away.
Absolutely. Jokic back in form, lost a bit of weight. They should win that for sure. So,
all right.
What is that?
Good bet.
Yeah, what's a tally up? So 230 into 270 into about 202 for Denver. You're getting 1260, which is value.
Easy. $5 on that. I like this one.
But put it on now, guys. Of course, gamble responsibly because, as you mentioned, tip off in 20 minutes' time for that match in the NBA, Jay.
Yep, get on it. I think there's an upset.
And race one at 1235.
Yeah.
And then we'll cheer home Hanseatic to win the Blue Diamond and to fill up.
We'll be on the WhatsApp, no doubt, punting all afternoon, which we absolutely love to do here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. I reckon next week, guys, we can start a few pre-season predictions as well for you footy heads because we're not far away. And I reckon the punters also want to know where you think everyone's finishing for 2020. Happy to do some homework this week?
Yeah, we get a little bit more exposed form over the next week or so and we'll be able to help and start looking.
After last night, I'm already thinking about a Bontempelli Brownlow.
Whoa. Oh, geez, you've really gone out on a limb there, JC. Whoa, slow down.
He's 15.
Whoa, that's groundbreaking.
Love it here. Thanks for joining us again. We'll be back to do it all again next week, and you can catch up on the highlights on the website and the app as well, right here on 105.1 Triple M.